The great throng of animals was lagging behind now, many of them barely moving, and all of them trying so hard that many more were sweating blood. As the finish approached, the wolf looked back and saw no one. But above him, he heard a strange flapping sound. It was the magpie. Now, the magpie is not the most graceful of flyers. In fact, he is the only bird that looks clumsy in the air. But there he was, flapping along. The wolf began to fade. Even his great endurance was waning. And ever so slowly, the black and white magpie pulled ahead to win the race. No one had ever thought this clumsy bird had a chance. To this day, every animal pauses to look up as a magpie flaps by in acknowledgement of his victory. And to this day, the earth around the Black Hills is red with the blood of the racers. Lorenzo Starrs, a quiet, soft-spoken young man, had a dream, but there were many obstacles. His family was by no means wealthy. In fact, his father, who had farmed for many years, died prematurely of a heart attack. Lorenzo pursued his dream anyway, working to earn money and finding scholarships. Sometimes the money ran short, and he had to take time off from school to work. But always, he went back. He never for one moment let go of his dream. His road through medical school was a little longer than usual, but now he is Dr. Lorenzo Starrs. At the moment, he is temporarily assigned to the Wagner, South Dakota Indian Health Service Clinic. Before that, he was at the Rosebud Indian Health Service Hospital on the Rosebud Sioux Indian Reservation. Dr. Starrs is an enrolled member of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe. We all want to be strong all of the time. We want to enter the race at our best. We want to be swift and graceful and embody all the attributes the world seems to reward most. But in the real world, we are not all strong. We are not all swift. And we can't face every circumstance with every attribute or resource we should. But whatever we have or don't have, whatever we are or aren't, no matter how tired or disillusioned we are, there is still a need to be met, an objective to be reached, a dream to be realized. Chances are, we won't reach our objective in one giant step. Success is rarely the result of one fell swoop, but more often the culmination of many, many small victories. Dr. Starrs didn't achieve his dream in one momentous act. He made it happen with a series of accomplishments, each placing him one step closer to his goal. We Lakota still have a strong culture because our parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents persisted in quiet little ways, thereby preserving the essence of who and what we are through the same fortitude that brought victory to the magpie. My maternal grandparents planted a vegetable garden every summer until early 1950s. Grandpa Albert plowed with a single-bottom plow pulled by two big draft horses. The garden was always labor-intensive. In addition to planting, cultivating, and weeding, we had to haul water to the garden and water by hand from buckets. But the result was always worth all the work. Every fall, we harvested enough corn, potatoes, squash, beans, and pumpkins to get us through the winter. And there were luscious watermelons in summer. One fall, we had a thinner harvest, and not because we didn't work hard enough to care for the garden. It was mid-July, the corn was taller than I was, and we were doing our usual tedious chore of picking bugs off the potato leaves when my grandfather spotted something just over the western horizon, a thin black cloud. Without stopping to explain why, he instructed me to pile dry kindling and green grass at several spots around the garden. I followed his lead, as did my grandmother. All the while, they kept an eye on the black cloud heading in our direction. As each pile of kindling was built, my grandfather would light it. And as soon as it was burning high enough, he would add green grass to create thick white smoke. I was puzzled at first, but neither of my grandparents had time to stop and explain. I knew it had something to do with the approaching black cloud. Very quickly, we had managed to make a thick white smudge over the garden. Then I heard a buzzing noise as the black cloud was directly overhead, and I was horrified to find myself inside a swirl of grasshoppers. My grandfather handed me a wet burlap bag and shouted, "Kill them!" My grandmother kept the smudge piles burning while Grandpa and I fought the grasshoppers. Fortunately, the bulk of them kept flying east, but enough of them descended on our garden to do considerable damage. I swung that burlap bag until my arms were ready to drop off. In spite of the many grasshoppers I knocked down, hundreds more still crawled everywhere in our garden. It seemed as though every leaf were covered. We knocked so many down that they crunched beneath our feet, but we didn't stop. By sundown, we seemed to be winning, but by then every leaf in the garden had been eaten to some extent. After the sun went down, we lit lanterns and torches and kept working. Around midnight, Grandpa declared that we had probably saved most of the garden. The next day, we raked up dead grasshoppers and burned them. We had lost about half our garden to the grasshoppers. Weeks of work and patient care were obliterated in a few short hours. Yet, neither of my grandparents complained about our sudden misfortune. "Sometimes this happens," they said. Our harvest was smaller that year, but I learned again that fortitude does have its rewards. Grandmother's road is not difficult to find. It is connected to all the other roads in life, perhaps because victory does not always go to the strongest or the swiftest. Those who turn onto Grandmother's road will find there is no room for impatience or despair. For those who use it do not necessarily move swiftly. Grandmother's road will, however, more often lead to victory than any other route.